This theme on mission, this whole month, we're looking at what that call of mission means. And it follows right on the heels of 4 weeks of talking about faith. And last week, we quickly talked through some of these themes and the outworking of faith in mission. One of the statements that we made was this: the natural outworking of faith is mission. The natural outworking of faith is mission. The definition of mission, directly from the dictionary, says this: a body of persons sent to conduct negotiations or establish relations with a foreign country, the business with which such a body of persons is charged, and a permanent diplomatic office abroad. And we ask the question, what relevance did this have to us as the Christian church? And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 19 and 20 particularly, we see this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us that same message of reconciliation. Verse 20 says this: we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And so that definition of a mission was that we are a body of persons to establish relations with a foreign country, that mission was the business with which such a body is charged. And according to Corinthians there, that is exactly the call of Christ on our lives. Mission is therefore about all of us. It's not just people who are set aside to go and travel overseas. Mission is about intentionality, being intentional in the way we live and the way we relate. And mission is always about living with purpose. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, it's God who works in us to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Now, the fulfillment of his good purpose is something we just have to go, what is his good purpose? According to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, and I'll read a little bit of it to you, it says this: the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, but rather he's patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. And our role is various in nature, but it is absolutely one in purpose. And that purpose is that people would know God, that they would know his love, that they would know his grace, that they would know his goodness, that they would be convinced of his passion for them and in turn respond to that. And in saying that our role is various in nature but one in purpose, I reference a combination of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6 and Matthew 9, 37 and a little bit onward. And it says this: Paul in his writing is saying, listen, we all have varied roles in this. Some plant. Some are the ones that initiate this seed idea. But there are those who water, and there are those who tend, and there are those who care. And anyone that's got any knowledge of planting and caring and nurturing, growing plants will realize it's work. Only weeds seem to grow without any effort whatsoever, at least in my garden. But this is, you know, something we've done recently. We planted all these little plants, and we had to go and water them all. We had to put sticks next to them. We had to tie them up at different times and support them, and now they're doing fine. And in the same way, in this relationship with Christ, the seed is planted. But then there's this ongoing process of watering and tending and getting alongside and supporting. And then Jesus says, that there's a season where harvest comes. The fields are white under harvest, and pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. So it's all of the above, and our role is different, varied in what the role is, but one in purpose, and that comes where we see it is only God who brings the increase. Ultimately, it is His work. It's His work in us, it's His work through us, and ultimately, it is for His glory. There's an old model done by the Wheaton College. His name is James Engle, and it was just simply called the Engle Scale. And on the Engle Scale, it talks about people that go from no awareness of God at number 1 to number 10, decision to surrender to Jesus, and number 16, ongoing growth. And people move all the way from left to right through all these different stages. And I want to note here, from no awareness with God to contact with Christians to an interest in Jesus, I think there's a lot more there between 3 and 4. That 3 and 4, contact with Christians to interest in Jesus, is actually a fairly drawn out process. What we have is a very unique opportunity and a unique call. It's not a better call. It's not that we're doing something special. It is a unique call that we as Good Life have. And we're communicating it, and hopefully it's a clear thing for us to grab a hold of, is that we have 4 spheres of influence. The first is our center. We have a very unique call that was given many years ago. But we also recognize that we're to have a voice in our community. And we believe that it's right to have a voice in our nation and an influence in our nation and ultimately in the world. What we're focusing on this week is this unique call that is our center. Now, some people have, you know, come in later in the journey of Good Life and may not get this, but 26 years ago, this vision was born immediately following a prayer for our nation, where Christians from all over Australia gathered in Canberra and we prayed around Parliament House. And following the commitment of that time, 2 men, Mike Jeffs and Doug Drinnen, were driving back up to the coast here, stopped on the southern highlands and got out of the car and began to pray with a real passion. God, what is your call for us in this nation? Born out of that was the Southern Cross Institute. And as a part of the Southern Cross Institute, there was this cry in their hearts for effective church in community. Not just a voice at community, but engaged with community. Other parts of that vision was the establishment of Christian media in Australia, which has in turn become the Australian Christian Channel and missions to the Pacific Rim and beyond. But this is the outworking of a part of that vision 26 years ago. And that vision was nurtured and it was tended and it was cared about and it was communicated about. And 11 years ago, the doors to this facility opened. It is a unique thing that is happening. And one thing that I communicate and say is this, that the Good Life Center is not just what we do. It is who we are. And I want to get that across because in Christian churches, in our Christian culture, it's very easy to do what I call split thinking. Or live in this dualism that, you know, there is the church and then there is the community. That there is, you know, this is the expression of the church. It's between these certain hours in these certain buildings. And then everything else that happens is that outworking of that church moment. I am a believer that we are called to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ, and that overflow of Jesus in our lives becomes everything that we do. Everything, whether it is here or whether it's in our cafe or the gym or the pool, or it goes beyond that into our community, and it just is who we are. It's not just an activity that's added on to me. It's the natural expression of Christ within, the way I treat people. And you'll hear stories in this month, from the impact in our community to the impact of the voice in our nation to the things we're seeing from around the world. But it is all born out of what God has given us uniquely to tend here. One of the things that, and I'm not in any way divisive in this, and I hope you hear that and understand this, but it became quite apparent the way that we easily separate. As a part of a denomination, our local churches have a responsibility to communication. And I was given the paperwork that I needed to respond to how many members we have, how many baptisms, how many kids, how many youth, how many everything. And years ago, I got this and I looked at it and I went, how do I fill this out? Because the estimation was that we had about 100 members and, about 150 families involved. And I'm looking at it going, man, our Good Life Voice is heaps bigger than that. So I got all excited. And I wrote down everything that Good Life does. And I'm like, okay, well, in our gym, we got 1,000 members. And in our swim school, we got 600, kids and their families. And, in the cafe, there's hundreds and hundreds of coffees a week and families connecting and sandwiches made and meals cooked. And, and I'm just going through big. And on a Sunday, there's probably about, 2,000 people that would call themselves a part of the Good Life family. And I sent it all in. And the next year, I got the papers back for my next year's assignment, and they had all just been culled. So I rang and I'm like, did my last year's paperwork get lost? Because this is really different to what I submitted. And the response came back, that's not what we're looking for. You do something different. We are interested in the church. Now, this is where it became interesting. And again, please, I'm not trying to be divisive, but I believe that God has called us to be catalytic in influence, a catalyst to conversation, to thinking. And so I began this conversation that simply said, can I just tell you why those figures came? Because on a Sunday, in any of our gatherings, we have people who are believers in Jesus, committed to their relationship with God. We have people who are not believers, and we have people who are searching, they're asking questions. But every day of the week, in our gymnasium, we have people who are believers, they're committed followers of Jesus. And we have people that are not believers, and we have people that are actively asking questions and searching. And in our pool, every day, we have people who are believers and people who are not believers and people who are searching. And in the cafe, we have people, you know what I'm going to say. And across the board, this is what we find. And certainly on a Sunday morning, there's a higher percentage of believers versus non-believers. But I said in this conversation, the problem I have is that because those believers, non-believers, and searchers attend a certain gathering in this center, you want me to count them. But no one else matters. That's a problem. And this is why I say Good Life is not just about what we do. It's not like we just count ourselves and the rest are sort of our target. Now, this is who we are, and there are many, many people that would say they are a vital part of the Good Life community who have yet to set their foot in this particular gathering. And I don't want us to get into split thinking of Christian and secular, and this is my religious or spiritual duty, and this is my other stuff. No, we are called to live out Christ in every area of what we do. And so it has become a catalyst to ongoing conversation. But let me take you to Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, which have become in so many ways the theme to why we do what we do. I'm going to start with verse 10 first. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially or without neglecting or make it a priority to those who belong to the family of believers. Like, we should naturally be engaged in one another's lives, supporting one another's lives, doing good to one another. But what Paul says there is, do as we have opportunity, do good to all. Let's break it up. As you have opportunity means every time there is a chance for you to do something, do it. To who? Everyone. Everyone that we have opportunity to. And then verse 9 says this, and don't become weary in doing good. For at the proper time or in due season, we reap a harvest or we reap a reward. What? If we don't quit. And this is the outworking of Galatians 6, 9 and 10 in the call to good life in this immediate place, our center, is as much as there is opportunity, do good to all. Don't separate them out. Don't delineate. Do good to all. And then you go back to what was in Corinthians and Matthew, that it's God who gives the increase. We're called to be faithful to the outworking of it. But to be effective in this, we have to realize the culture and the days that we live in. What does the community look like? What's the days we live in? And there's a study done by the McCrindle Group, who do all sorts of studies, but this one on the implication for churches in culture. Now I'm going to try and move fairly quickly through these. This is the trend line of declining adherence to faith. This is over the last 40 years. This study was commissioned in May of this year, so it is very, very current. Christianity in the last 38 years has decreased in adherence by 22%. Church attendance has decreased by almost 50%. And the increase is this: 269% of people say that there is no religion. Now, it's not that people have just bailed on Christian belief and church attendance. Our culture is this big move towards just nothing, no adherence to anything. If you could bring that one up again, thank you. The next part of the study looked at this. These key areas that were identified, how do they rank in importance to you? Number one area, relational and family. Number two, physical and health. Number three, emotional, financial, vocational, social. What's the bottom one? Spiritual and church. And the thing that we often do is we solely focus here. But look at the next part of the study. In life satisfaction, this is the descending order again: relational, family, spiritual, emotional, vocational, social, physical, and financial. Now, I want to overlay those where they belong. And look at these if we go to this next one. Relational and family. That's the desire level is up the top there in the blue. That's the level of satisfaction. Physical health, pretty high level of desire, very low level of satisfaction. Emotional, mental, high level of desire, pretty unfulfilled. Financial, high level of desire, very unfulfilled. That's pretty indicative of where we just are as a culture and community. Social connection, but look at spiritual and religious. Now, some people would look at that and go, oh, that's a good thing. Actually, it's not. What that shows is complete disinterest. Your interest level is very low, and you're just going, and I am, thank you very much, satisfied with where that's at. But what you do see is these top three areas, if we can just go back that one, please, those top three areas there, relational, physical, and emotional, is actually what the vision of what God gave this place some 26 years ago, that the doors opened to just on 11 years ago, are the sweet spot for the vision that was given and what people in our day and age would be craving. We have a very unique opportunity. In this study, facilities, community needs, what did people see the need was? What was their hope? They say in these orders, this is what they felt the community needs, this is how they were fulfilled. So parklands, car parks, community center, youth center, cafe precinct. And if you go on to the next part of this study, it shows here that indoor sports facility, then a dog park, then childcare, then outdoor sports, and at the bottom of the whole study, in both community needs and personal needs, is local church. What do people want to see built last? Local church. Because what we've allowed ourselves to move into is this just state of disconnection. Our strategy still tends to be, and you know, even in our high-profile denominations, is the funding is there to build church buildings. But yet our community's just going, why? Because still in our minds, that's our point where the gospel is declared. We've got to get people into church so they can hear the preacher and they can respond to the call, and that's where they meet Jesus. But the reality is Christ in us and the outworking of that wherever we are is mission. Our Sunday expression, although I'm thrilled that we see people come to the knowledge of Christ in it, is really a place where we should be celebrating the greatness of who God is and encouraging one another and building into one another and then going into our homes and being a part of a smaller community of believers, building into each other that you can go out and be a part of this work in the world. We have to see the unique positioning that we have. I remind you again of Galatians 6, 9 and 10. Do not become weary in doing good. For in due season, there's a harvest, there's a reward if we continue to pour ourselves out, invest ourselves in our given sphere of influence. As much as we have opportunity, do good. Now, the thing we need to realize is, as in the McCrindle study that I showed you earlier, faith grows over time and through experience. I want to give you what I'm just calling a modified Engel scale. And in this, there's a set of crosshairs here that people move from being antagonistic to others to being committed to each other. Going from knowing nothing of God to being a devoted follower of Jesus. This is growing in love for God and growing in love for one another. This is the call. This is that call of transformation. The old has gone, the new has come, that we're to be those agents of transformation. And the reality in our world is loads of people dwell here, and they're in sort of moving areas, staying here, knowing nothing really of God, angry, antagonistic towards others, in self-preservation mode, in self-defense mode. We have a portion of our population who live over here in the bottom right quadrant, committed to one another, but knowing nothing of God, doing good things, finding ways to live out this sense of other people's worth, but doing it with disconnect from God. But the desire is that people would move towards that upper right quadrant here, that they grow in the knowledge of God and as such grow in commitment to one another. One of the most difficult areas to work in is this. And this, sadly enough, is where often the church lives in disconnect. We feel like we're getting to know God, but more and more we just become distant to people. That we actually become antagonistic and angry about the way that our world is rather than moved with compassion for the brokenness of our world. And so that's why we can so easily separate ourselves and distance ourselves. One of the things that we find here in this center and the outworking of it is that we have folk that often come in self-preservation mode, self-centered mode, self-focused mode, and they're in this bottom quadrant, but through continued relationship, and I mean years of relationship and years of Moira Hoffman smiling at them at the front desk, and years of Sarah knowing their names and talking to them by name, and years of those in the gym and those around the pool and those in the cafe who tend to them and love them. And then when they come into a gathering on a Sunday and they realize, far out, people in there are the sort of the same people I run into all the time here. But this modified Engel scale is moving from something to something else. And it's moving for so many people from distrust and moving to trust. Distrust of Christians. Listen, in our world today, the church is not very highly trusted as a cultural institution. We're just not. It's time we realize it. But what happens is as we live out Jesus, people move from distrust of Christ to this place where they are potentially open. People moving from apathy to curiosity. Used to think that, people just, were seekers. Predominantly, they're not. Predominantly in Australia, people just don't really care that much. We live in the land of contentedness. But how do we move people from apathy to curiosity? The reality is we do need to be that source of curiosity. And curiosity, I don't just mean strange, I mean interest. We tend to do a better job at strange than we actually do at initiating real interest in people. But curiosity is... I've heard it for a long time, people saying, I try to live a different way so that people will one day ask, what's so different about you? That's good, but actually what's better is us taking an interest in people. Curiosity births curiosity. Interest births interest. And if we would take the time to actually hear story, engage with people, find where people are at in life, it's an opportunity to see them move from, I really don't care, towards, wow, I want to investigate that. It's moving from closed to open. Now, often this is the hardest threshold because people do tend to live defensively. But to get them to the point that they're actually open to change, they don't like change. But then people moving from meandering to seeking. The way we do that is really by being transparent in our own seeking. I still find that I am seeking and I engage people in my seeking. My prayer life is not about dictating or demanding of God. It is seeking. It is seeking to know Him better. It's seeking to see His hand in my life, His ways in my life. And I can easily engage people around me in that seeking. Prayer is always an invitation to actually seek with me. And Jesus is not hidden here. It's not like we're going to do this old switch the shell game and suddenly pop Jesus out on people. Jesus is the source of everything that we're doing here. I don't separate it. One story amongst many was a fella here that was part of our gym who had some serious health issues. He had a bad arrhythmia of the heart, and he was going to have to go and get that heart stopped and restarted, hoping that the rhythm would be right in the restart. And knowing this was coming, I thought, here's the opportunity to pray with him. And I stopped him here in the lobby and I said, do you mind if I just pray with you, knowing what you're facing? And he said, actually, I don't have any faith. And I really don't want prayer. Now, for most of us, that would be like, whoa, okay. And not for me. That's a welcome mat. So I saw the welcome mat rolled out, and I said, wow, you don't consider yourself a man of faith. I consider you a man of great faith, because tomorrow you're going to let someone kill you. And you're hoping that they're going to restart your heart, but what happens if they look at you and go, not really worth it? You're dead. No, you strike me as a man of great faith. And my faith is a lot simpler than that. My faith is in a God who created us and who knows us and who cares about you. My prayer would simply be that you would know his heart for you and his care for you, and that you would know healing. You know what he said to me? You can pray that for me. And we stood right here in the lobby on just a weekday after a gym session and laid hands on him and prayed. And that has been an invitation to ongoing conversation. Curiosity is not just waiting for someone to ask me why I'm so different. It is engaging them in their story and creating a desire to know. This is mission in all of us. And if the Good Life Community Center is not your sphere, if it's not your sphere of influence, it is somewhere. It is in our community, or it is a voice in our nation, or it is a voice in this world, and we will address those. And the last sphere, the last move in that modified angle scale is from lost to saved, where they actually engage that there is a God who loves them, cares for them, provided for them. But again, it is the ongoing walking through that story with people. There are endless opportunities. And I don't want to end today without a couple of opportunities for you to hear some of those stories. The first place to engage, so obviously here, is health and fitness activities. That stuff happens here all the time. There's a lady who is a part who has been a part of the gym. I've watched her for ages, just attend gym. It was a health issue. But of late, she now meets with them in two ladies from the groups in the cafe, on the deck, in classes, other key areas, our gym classes, our gym groups, all opportunities to engage people. But then also our pool. And Rod and Chrissy Elson, who manage that whole area, our swim school and our pool, are always involved with families. And I wanted you to briefly hear just a couple of the accounts that we see this movement of people from distrust to trust, from disengaged to engaged, from disinterested to interested, and they're still walking the journey. This is Rod and Chrissy.
Good morning, church. We do have a privilege of working with kids. We have about 600 kids, and there's parents and grandparents. So there's probably about 2,000 people that we have the opportunity to not just save lives by water safety, but also interact and have relationship with. And that's really is a wonderful privilege. Chris is just going to share a couple of things, and I'll have another go.
Hi, everyone. The part that I want to share to you this morning is a part about our staff, the group of teachers that we actually teach with. They're an amazing group of people. 8 of them don't actually come to the Good Life Community Church, but they believe in what this place is about, and that's about people matter. And we don't hide our faith in Christ. We actually tell them all about that. We often see them sitting around the pool deck talking to parents, just doing life with them, and that's an amazing thing. I just am absolutely excited and thrilled to know that God has entrusted us with not only a group of people who can further the kids in their teaching, in their learning ability as far as water safety is concerned, but also knowing that those teachers, the group that we have, believe in the same thing that we do, and that the people do matter. The other thing I wanted to share this morning was about the club night that we have on a Wednesday night. It happens every fortnight. That will start in October. The group that actually had it before we took it on had decided to no longer do it because it wasn't working for them. So myself, Rod, and our supervisor, Joe, decided that, you know what, children do matter to us, and it doesn't matter that it's a Wednesday night. So we decided to do the club night. The parents were absolutely thrilled at the fact that it's not about an agenda, but it's about the children. And we have the most amazing time. And like I said in the first service, if you have a Wednesday night free, we start taking in enrolments on the 8th of October, and the next fortnight after that we actually start. It is a great place to get along, a great place to show your faith to people, just getting alongside and just loving on them. And the parents, they just, honestly, they're just amazed at how much fun it is and how much the kids really, really love. I just wanted to share about Libby, one of our teachers. We had a story that came through via email. I'll get Rod to read it to you, but it is really an encouragement.
Now, this is a letter we received from a lady by the name of Angela Ryan. My name is Angela Ryan. My daughter, Jada, has a lesson on Wednesday with Libby. I just wanted to express my happiness and feeling on how Libby has taken on our little girl. Jada has brain damage from being very sick with encephalitis when she was 6 months old. She has trouble understanding, communicating, has no speech. She doesn't understand the water, so is very frightened and panicked. Libby has been amazing. She is so very caring with Jada. Her compassion and beautiful nature has finally got Jada to trust her. I can tell Jada now knows who she is, and it is a great sense of relief for me to have such a wonderful woman trying every week to help us understand the water. I know every week Libby is investing emotion in our little girl, and it is so personal to us to have this kind of service. As it gets warmer, we hope to see her twice a week. I wanted to let you guys know what a special lady she is and that she is greatly helping Jada and especially me with another challenge we face. That is just a small part of what the swim school does. That is spread across every aspect of what goes on here, whether it be the gym, the cafe, the swimming pool. It is something we do, and we try and do it with excellence, and it is wonderful to get feedback from parents when they see some major change in their children. So it is a privilege.
That's just a glimpse into some of the things that happen. The one thing that I love that I talked about before is just even in that email, moving from distrust to trust. Moving from disengaged to engaged. But beyond that, we have so many other things, social groups, people that come and gather here, mums groups, community groups, support groups. We have support groups that are involved all the time, sports teams. Now, the sports teams, people might think, oh, that's just where you come and play, but there's a man who became a part of this family that sports was a part of his language, and he has found that that's been a major outworking, Ryan Smith.
Don't look surprised. I love sports. I came on staff a year and a half ago primarily to be a connector with our church community. And I learned really young when I was in school, because I'd been to 17 different schools before I graduated, that making friends doesn't happen by accident. And so because I had a brother-in-law who was involved in futsal, which I had never heard of before, invited me along. And so I came, and I became a part of a team that graciously accepted me, because I don't know anything about soccer. I guess futsal is a bit like soccer. And so I started playing, and I scored a goal, and pretty soon people were cheering for me. And I soon realized they were actually laughing at me. But it became this fun camaraderie. And so I grew to love it. And it's one of my favorite nights of the week is on Thursday nights, right where you guys are sitting, we run up and down this court and we have a great time. And it's an amazing opportunity that we have to connect. And, you know, you get physical out there on the sports field. But at the end of the night, these guys just show how much they love one another through friendships and deep relationships. And I thought, man, if Thursday nights is good, another night of the week would be even better. And so I started playing basketball on Monday nights, which I'm actually pretty good at. You guys, yeah, I'm an American. I'm born good at basketball. If you want to come see a fat white guy just do some amazing things with a basketball, come on Monday nights. we run up and down the court and we have a great time. And what's really cool is I began seeing people from Thursday nights and I began seeing people from Monday nights out in the community, and I'd recognize them and they'd recognize me and they'd say, "Hey, Ryan, how are you?" And I'd say, "Hey, man, it's good to see you, Junior." And we'd just chat, long chats in the IGA with guys that never come to church, but on a Monday come and play basketball and have a great time. And we develop these relationships, and it's so good to be a part of a place where I can come and people are so gracious, because I'm really not that good at sports. I know that it's a shock, but it's so good to be in a place where I can come have a good run, but not just have a good run, but develop some amazing relationships with people in our community. It's an amazing thing. So I invite you to come along and do something on purpose, which is have a great time.
Ryan, like most people probably would have expected, you know, Ryan's going to come and he's going to connect and the Sunday morning's going to be his big thing, but he's just, I've seen him just grow and grow in that expression. But as we prayed before with home groups and prayer groups, there are opportunities to come and build into one another. And home groups are not just study groups. They're inviting people into our homes for meals, for support. It's a great opportunity. But then service teams and Sundays, this part of the mainstay of why this community operates the way it does is built around service as well. Teams that, you know, they make the tea and coffee, they come early, set up chairs. Every one of us can be engaged somehow. Every one of us can be engaged in this end of the spheres of influence. And every one of us can be involved in the world through things like compassion. But everyone, and service teams happen during the week and they happen on Sundays. And one of the stories that moves me every time is one of our old business guys that used to bring milk here. He was our milker. And he would come day after day, and our girls in the cafe knew him. And he sold his business. And I was like, "Okay, see you later, Mark. That's probably the end of it." The next week I come in and he's in the cafe. And I'm like, "Mark, I thought you sold your business." And he goes, "I did. But I can't not be around this place." So he's here washing dishes one day a week because he so needs his community, which is Good Life. And people are moving in this scale. Every step is a step of evangelism. It's drawing people towards the reality of Jesus. And then we have all sorts of gender and life stage groups, men's groups, women's groups, children's groups, youth groups, all sorts of expressions. And in that, it's not just the Sunday morning event stuff. Our kids guys do things, and most of in this 10 o'clock service, you know, really appreciate what they do upstairs. But they are involved with our children and our young people all week long. This is Greg and Sarah Forrest.
Thanks, Tim. I was nervous, but listening to Ryan, I feel overqualified for my job. Like Rod was saying, it's such a privilege to be here as part of Good Life. We love kids, and yeah, it's such an honor this morning to speak on behalf of so many volunteers. It's not just us, there's so many more people. We love the vision of Good Life, that people matter, and that it's not just this service on a Sunday. It just resonates with us, and it's so great that we've got a practical way to show God's love. So it's really exciting to be a part of that. On a Friday night, you wouldn't really be safe sitting where you are right now. It's an empty room, but it's full of kids, probably 60 to 80 primary school kids, a handful of very faithful leaders ducking for cover as a large assortment of balls are thrown around the room. Controlled safe chaos, we call it. These kids are largely from our wider community and from a large, diverse range of family homes and circumstances. And yeah, we've got this amazing opportunity just to love on them. And we do that in the most practical way possible for kids. And I think that's just to play with them and spend time. And it's amazing the relationships and the trust that you can build so quickly with these kids, and also through that with their parents. We got a letter recently from one of the kids, and I want to share it with you. It says, "To Good Life. I love Good Life every week. I can't wait to Friday, and all the members are so nice." Try and ignore the obvious grammar errors. And the prayers you say are amazing. And I love the games, and your lolly thing is amazing too. Thank you for making it fun and the best thing of the week. And, you know, sometimes Friday night isn't when you're at your peak. It's not the thing you most want to do. I'm a school teacher, so I'm with kids all week, and then to come here on a Friday night with more kids sometimes can be a challenge. But when you get things like that and when you see the kids and the joy that brings them, it's just, there's no place you'd rather be. This Friday night just passed again, that same girl came up to us and asked for a job application form. Now, I'm not sure if it was about us and what we're doing or about Jalen Ross and spending more time with him, but she asked how old she needed to be and whether there was an application process and how she could go about getting a job. You see, she's in grade six, so this is her last year of Friday Night Kids, and I think she understands that next year she still wants to be a part of our community here, so she's looking to come on and help us as a junior leader. Yeah, and it's just so encouraging when you hear stories like that.
My job mostly on a Friday night is I stand on the door and I'm security guard. So I watch these kids come in and out, toilets, drinks, and I'm able to talk to the parents as they drop them off as well, which is really great, and it provides so many opportunities there. They really notice the leaders, and they notice that the crew are here every week, and they really appreciate the sacrifice that it is sometimes to be here. And often they'll ask me, you know, why is it that you guys do what you do? You must be so tired. It's Friday. And I just love being able to tell them that their kids really matter to us and that we really care about their kids. And they're so touched by that. You know, we don't really know what God does with these interactions, these small ones that we have week to week, but it's just exciting when families who wouldn't usually step inside a typical church building are coming because they recognise that there's something different here and they want to be a part of it. I love it when we see parents who I've seen walk very quickly in and sign their kids out and walk very quickly back out again. They're suddenly now in the cafe having a coffee, or their kids are in swim school, or they're using the gym, and you know, they're becoming more connected in our community from that first point of call, which was just Friday night. So I love that. I love that sometimes we see our Friday night kids in Sunday morning kids. That's really exciting. And you know, one of our little girls started with Friday night kids just over a year ago, and now she's one of our most frequent Sunday morning attendees. She's up there this morning, and she's brought another friend from school. She's so great at bringing little friends who have never been to church before. And yeah, I love when Fridays feed into Sundays. I think it's so cool when they've experienced something in the week and they want to know more. So they're coming here. Look, there's so many little stories of just beautiful interactions with kids that we see when they just respond to love. And I guess we just want you to know that there are heaps of opportunities to be a part of what's good God's doing with kids and families here at Good Life. And it's not just Good Life on a Sunday. You really need to understand that it is Good Life 7 days a week. There's so much going on, and it's so exciting to be a part of that. So thank you.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We could stand and story tell all day, but I know you've got lunch to have. This is not just what we do. This is the unique call that God has given Good Life. And the invitation is, if this is the sphere of influence that God would draw you towards, it's the outworking of your missional faith, then find a way to be involved. Whether it's serving the family of believers, remember especially the other believers, serving them, doing good to them. You can be part of all sorts of teams that don't just come and consume on a Sunday, but give themselves to others that others can come. That you can give yourself to people all during the week. You can come and bring people through the center. Most people are absolutely stunned when they see this place in action. It's not the only way it works. It's a unique gift that God's given us. The McCrindle study would show you pretty clearly that we are positioned uniquely to meet people where they are at with what we know is the hope and transformation of our lives. God has called us to be ambassadors of His kingdom. He has gifted us to be agents of change, providers of hope, restorers of dignity. All of those things that happen in here all the time. If this isn't you, if you like the stories but you feel like it's not what you're called to do, fantastic. Maybe it's next week when we talk about our community
And whether it's in your home and your family and parenting, whether it's nurturing, whether it's your job, whether it's where you find yourself in recreation, wherever, that may be your sphere. It may be that you are devoted to being a voice and an agent of change in this nation. That will be the next week. But then the last week, when we talk about the world, that's opportunity again for all of us to engage. On the 31st, one service, 10 o'clock. And following that, we're going to open up the whole place. Bring your swimmers. If you've never swum in the pool, good, the 31st. The gym's going to be open. The field outside's going to be open. The cafe decks. And we're going to do life, but we're going to have little booths set up everywhere with every opportunity that we can ever think of in every sphere, this center, this community, a voice in our nation, a voice in this world, so that you can just pray, really be prayerful and go, God, where would you connect me? What is my sphere of influence? And how can I honor your name in it? Let's stand together. Father, we want to thank you for your drawing and calling of us to yourself. God, that you would change our lives. Behold, the old has gone, the new has come, and you would offer us to be agents of transformation, gifts of your light and your life to this world in which we live. And God, we want to thank you this morning for the unique vision that you imparted to people years and years ago that we now see the fruition and outworking of, that we see the increase of, the influence of, the lives that are being moved from disinterest to interest. God, from being removed from you to being restored to you. And Lord, I pray that your word through Paul in Galatians would continue to move us, that we would not become weary in doing good, understanding that according to your purposes, we would see your increase in your time. And Lord, that we would be moved to continually do good to all as much as we have opportunity, but especially to serve one another and your kingdom's name. Be glorified in us. Be glorified through us. Reconcile the world to yourself through your call through us. We thank you for the privilege in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Set yourselves aside these next weeks. Really begin, I pray. Ask the Lord where he would call you to be that influence. God bless you with a wonderful day today.